Fear the Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 2, Blue Jay is over. Boy, oh boy, are we just getting started with the show recaps. My name is Jessica Lise. You, of course, may call me Grapple. And we have got a completely insane episode of Fear the Walking Dead. This is quite the piece of television. I don't know who had Austin Powers steamroller, but make it a zombie head on their Fear the Walking Dead bingo card. But if you did, you are looking at a prize tonight, for sure. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce the panel right now. And I'm going to start with the man that has not stopped screaming about this, AJ Mass, a.k.a. Parakeet. How you doing?
There were a few things that bothered me about this episode, but I just can't quite put my finger on it.
Boo!
Yeah, I have to say, I typically watch my Fear of the Walking Dead in the morning of the day we podcast, so it's fresh in my head. It's the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is watch someone's freaking finger get cut off. It was gross. Super gross. But this does open up the possibility for something that I think Chappelle would really enjoy. The spiky ball finger. What do you think about that?
It's pronounced chachalaca. Chachalaca. That's my
chachalaca
bird.
Chachalaca. Yes.
Yeah. The chachalaca. It's a Tex-Mex bird like myself. And, since
I feel like
a
that's the Jew, I should be the laca. No.
Yeah, that I'm happy to be back. I thought I was going to be the Blue Jay, but apparently this episode is the Blue Jay. June is the Blue Jay, but June could have the spiky ball finger soon. I saw that this other character has a new finger, so I can imagine that they would be giving June a replacement one day.
I mean, one would hope so. I think.
I mean, how can she ever shoot a gun again?
I mean, the ghost of John Dory is displeased for sure. And of course, rounding out our panel this week, we couldn't do it without him. He's the conductor on our train to nonsense. Josh Wigler, a.k.a. Swan.
You're definitely going to have to figure out how to do this without me after this week.
No, you are not allowed to leave.
I put in PTO. PTO, I'm not coming back next week. I'll be
We've
back.
We've got some motivation for you.
Right.
Yeah,
first,
it's interesting.
We'll chop off your finger.
It is interesting, though, because I am used to Fear the Walking Dead giving me the finger, just not like this. Not like this.
It giveth the finger and it taketh the finger away.
Truly, in so many ways, flipping the bird here on FTWD.
It's yeah, like, we all got fingered this time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not just
FTWD,
Freddy.
FTWD, indeed. Yeah, F it. So, yeah, let's talk about this episode. We get to meet some new characters. Do they just, is Padre is the only book they have, is like Audubon's bird guide?
How is this place called Padre and not Menagerie?
Aviary.
How is this not called Aviary? How is this not called The Bird Cage? Padre? Is a Padre a bird that I'm not aware of?
I mean, the San Diego Padres did have the chicken as their mascot for many years.
Oh, if this turns out to be like some kind of cargo cult situation where they are all worshiping the San Diego chicken, I am back on board.
Oh, well, me too. I mean, come on.
Yeah, especially they get in a war with like the gritty people. It's gonna be off the chain.
Unbelievable.
AJ, you have been very upset about this for days. For days. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to be on the podcast last week, so I was very excited to hear y'all talk about how they held that one-way mirror at hostage, at gunpoint. Because I remember texting AJ and being like, are they pointing the gun at the speaker? That's not going to do anything. but AJ told me in that moment he was already upset about this episode more. So, AJ, tell me, what really put you over the edge?
It was a combination of things. It started off with the fact that Blue Jay, a.k.a. June, is suddenly a master sharpshooter making shots that John Dory himself would have had a problem shooting. And yet, because she was married to him for like a week, and so she incepted his skills? Like, what, that boggled my mind. Then you had typed up neat reports in the lab. Who took the time to type up these reports and make the reports so neat?
I assume the typing happened before they lost their pointer fingers.
Right. Well, and then like they were like, oh my gosh, they got us. They got us. I'm going to catch that guy and I'm going to get... They knew it was her all along. So why didn't Drake just say, hey, be on the lookout for Blue Jay? Not this mysterious they or he is taking fingers. That got me angry. You get this guy who shows up just to die, who sees his daughter through three panes of glass and two train cars, and she happens to be standing right there. There she is! My life is over! And you know, it just comes all down to the head and the slow, drawn out, oh, they're not actually going to have this head bite the boy. They're not actually going to... They're having the head bite this boy. And you know, this comes after they chop off her finger because she's the only one who can do these treatments, but we're going to cripple you before you do the treatment. Like, none of this made any sense.
And can we talk about the fact that Padre boasts openly that they have never lost a child? And I'm like, what about that child? What about that child over there, sir?
They know exactly where he is.
When they're like, poor little Hannah. You know, they didn't lose her, though. You know, she was an experiment. And I think that they're trying to sugarcoat what the hell is happening here. Because they were like, I mean, we didn't kill Hannah. And they're looking at Blue Jay over there like, I mean, if it wasn't for your radiation or whatever, and or that bite, that had nothing to do with us, you know. This is wild. This entire episode is wild. I didn't know we didn't need gun control. We just need to take away people's fingers. Like, this is silly to me that you think that will stop her from shooting a gun ever. Like, there's
getting rid of the trigger fingers is an interesting idea, though.
Left-handed people exist.
Look, get rid of both of them.
I want June Dory to reveal that she is left-handed on the next episode. Be like, whoa, they almost got me.
kind of the reverse Wesley, we call that.
Mm-hmm. Basically. Most likely kill you again in the morning. Wow. I am never for the rest of my life going to forget the image of Adrian's zombified head on a crane slowly being directed at the poor slumbering Finch, who then like gets they bite him and never, like, it happened. What was going on with any of that? I was howling at the severed Adrian head biting poor Finch, connected to this crane. Like, I say crane, you said crane earlier, Jess, but really this is like Krang. This is this has like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles level absurdity to it. I think I'm here for it. I'm pretty sure that I am. I think if we're still gonna be making this show, then at the very least, let's just push all in on the utterly ridiculous absurdity. I laughed so hard. It escalated so hard. AJ, yeah, you had warned the whole group. It's like, oh, this episode I rage quit three times. And I had to text AJ as soon as I watched. I was like, well, I kept waiting because I was like, okay, it's Fear the Walking Dead. Fear the Walking Dead is continuing to happen on my television screen. I'm not quite sure. Oh, there's a head on the crane. There's the head on the crane. I will, for as long as I live, I could be robbed of all of like my thinking, cognition, feeling, everything. Like, I could be just like a hallowed husk of a human being. And I promise you that within my still beating heart, I am processing, if nothing else, the image of Adrian's severed head on a crane being slowly lowered to Finch. It's going to live rent-free in my soul for the rest of time.
And can we point out the fact that there was a previous head in that contraption? Yeah. So this was something they apparently did a lot. Like, this was a thing, this was purpose-built for...
torture.
Moving heads onto people, I guess. And I thought this was like a legit medical research lab. I mean, sure, we're irradiating a couple of children, but you know, we're doing important work here. No, we made a head chomping crane contraption.
you know, Jess, you've been saying for years how you wanted them to utilize mm-hmm. the walkers.
I honestly
capacity.
I am not mad at this. I mean, it's clearly something you're using for evil. And I still don't understand how nobody's got zombies on treadmills powering their city, but this is a good start.
Somebody powered the printer and the computer and the scanner to get those photos into this book that they typed up. So I'm sure that they're doing something with these zombies. But it was driving me crazy that June was telling us that this contraption is built to torture people or to get, you know, information out of them or to make them do whatever they want them to do. Or at least they're using it right here to kind of hold June hostage in a way. But June's whole thing was, I'm chopping off fingers so they can't shoot me. Ma'am, there are other ways to make you, like, do what they want you to do. Did you not think
we have other ways of making you talk, Miss Dory?
I mean, it was basically word for word that exact moment. Like, ma'am, what do you think? Oh, yeah, I took all their fingers. Now what are they going to do? Well, insert zombie head on crane.
Well, there's so much that's wrong with everything June is doing in this episode that starts with taking off their fingers is a really dumb thing to do to begin with. But the all of the leverage that Dwight and Sherry give June over the course of this episode, they say, okay, we'll get you a boat so you can leave. Okay, I just want to point out that the whole thing June's been doing this whole time is finding people in a perfectly working boat, knocking them out, taking their fingers, and then leaving them in their perfectly working boat so they could go home.
What
she could have just knocked him out,
legend.
Yeeted them out of the boat, and taken the boat if that's what she wanted.
No, it's so
it's not what she wanted. Because
it's so much pettier this way,
right?
I'm here for petty, but
no. See, here's the thing: she didn't want that. She wanted to be left alone, and you know, slowly get her revenge on Padre and the Padre people. It wasn't until Adrian showed up and said, "I know where you are, and I'm coming back," that she said, oh, now I got to get out of here because they know where I am. He knows where I am and he's coming back. Of course, I don't know why she didn't just shoot him the moment he walked in the door if that was the case, because that was the solution right there.
I mean, shoot them as soon as they walked in the door would have solved problems at several points in this episode.
Absolutely.
Why is she collecting the fingers? Why keep them in a jar? What is the reason? I thought she was going to try to infiltrate Padre and use like the fingerprint scanner or something like that. Yeah. Why is it in the jar? If you chop the fingers off, just throw them away. Burn them. I don't know.
It does look like she's pickling them, right?
Why?
Because future snacks. They're in the zombie apocalypse. Why is this a crazy thing? She's going to need, she might need a snack down
there.
There
was that guy. That was that guy like several seasons ago who was like pickling zombie brain glands in a jar.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Apparently they had hallucinogenic properties and we never visited that again.
Maybe this is like some sort of zombie apocalypse super science way of keeping the fingers alive. So she's like holding them hostage, like release the children of Padre and I'll release your fingers back to you. I'll even stitch them back on.
I mean, now is a good time to talk about this bar in Northern Canada that has a cocktail called the Sour Toe. And you have to drink a shot of some kind of liquor with a human toe in it.
I will walk out of here.
You don't drink the toe.
I will walk out of here right now.
Every so often somebody does drink the toe and then somebody else has to, like, they have to wait for somebody to donate a toe.
This reminds me of the Big Toe from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Does anyone remember the Big Toe?
Please stop saying toe. I am so uncomfortable.
So
maybe
okay
not anyone on the podcast knows what I'm talking about, but I guarantee you there are listeners right now who
I'm sure there are
deeply triggered, to which I say, I'm not sorry about it.
So, right, Chappelle, you're okay with a finger but not a toe?
I'm not drinking none of that shit. I don't understand why she's keeping them. It doesn't make sense.
And how many fingers were in that jar? We established last week that Madison took out half of the guards at Padre, and that was like 12.
Yeah.
How many people work at Padre?
Fingers in there?
Yeah.
Everybody else is fingerless.
What if you catch the same person twice? Do you have to take a different finger?
She's only taking one. She's not taking the trigger finger off both hands. She's only taking one.
Yeah.
So I guess if you ever come back, she's coming for your next finger.
Or it's like, this fish isn't worth keeping. And just like toss it back out. Like, is that what's happening? She just like throws them back out into Padre. She's like, I already got his finger. It's fine.
It makes no sense. Like, I don't want Padre to come find me, so I'm just gonna troll them for 7 years.
Yeah, maybe it's because she wants to like disfigure their hand and arm region because June is so busy getting jacked herself.
Yeah,
Jenna Elfman was ripped. Like A+. I think she's trying to be like the arm queen of Virginia right now, and she's on her way. She's on her way. She's like doing like bicep curls with the fingers as like the weights. They're soaking up some of the pickling juice, maybe getting heavier.
I'm so upset. Like Jess said, she's trolling these people. You could just kill them. They're coming out. You're stealing. You're like getting rid of their boat. You're taking their fingers. You've killed people before. I've seen it. Just shoot them. Just shoot them, drown them, something. Why are you letting them go back if you know that they're out there trafficking kids, basically? What is happening here?
Maybe it's her honoring the old adage of you can pick your friends, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your nose if I've cut off your nose-picking finger.
You can pick your nose with any finger.
You can't shoot a gun with any finger. Nope, just that one finger.
Yeah.
I guess.
But maybe you'll have a little less joy in it if it was like specifically your nose picking
the
finger.
The only thing I can think of that makes any sense to why she's not just like murdering everybody that comes through is what actually happens this week. The fact that she knows that a lot of people in her old group are working for Padre under some sort of duress, and she doesn't want to accidentally kill one of them. That's the only thing that makes any sense here.
Like maybe if they go back one time and they're not dead, but like the other ones have been dying, then they're like, all right, you've been, you know, June's been letting you slide or something like that. I could see that. Or, you know, maybe she just accidentally tranquilizes them or something, you know, and then can't wake them up. I don't know. I don't know where she got tranquilizer darts from. I guess she made them out of the hospital equipment that's in the train. Do y'all hear me? Made it out of the hospital equipment that was in the train. They said, we have to get this kid back to the OR. And I said, that is a train car. Stop it.
It's a very dirty train car, too.
It's a very dirty tennis. Train car, which has such a complex fail-safe electric system that if you shoot the main control panel, all you have to do is flick a switch at the back of the train and all the electricity comes back on.
Yeah, I mean,
really?
I know that in some houses, if you blow out a fuse, you can go flip the breaker and you fix it.
Yes.
But that's a house, not a train. And you are presumably just plugging in your space heater and your blow dryer at the same time and not like full on shooting it.
I got tetanus watching them walk around in the train. It was so disgusting. This is not a sterile place. This is not what I signed up for when I signed up for June's Anatomy. It's just not. I've seen plenty of appendectomies in my life just because of Meredith Grey herself. And no one's signing off on this. I was like, this kid is going to die just because this is not a sterile workplace. You can't just be opening up kids on random dusty ass rusted like train parts. This is not okay.
So Josh Wigler.
It turns out you can. You just shouldn't, but you can.
Josh Wigler, I have a question for you specifically.
Yeah, let's do it.
Which appendectomy would you rather get?
Ooh.
Would you rather get the zombie tetanus train car appendectomy? Or would you rather have Bernard the Dentist help you do your own appendectomy in the middle of the Lost Cave?
Bernard the Dentist every day of the week. Come on. Do you understand what this means? If it's Bernard the Dentist who has me perform my own appendectomy, it means I made it. I got there. I, at long last, my entire life's quest is fulfilled. I arrived at the Lost Island.
I will say that anytime you use the question, do you know what this means in conjunction with Lost? When it comes to me, the answer is probably no.
Yeah. In this case, the answer is yes.
Okay.
Well, I question the effectiveness of the anesthesia that June is using on this kid who is out cold and yet jumps right up to kill a whole bunch of walkers.
Light and shade. Yeah.
Later.
Yeah. He was good to go. He was ready. His father trained him well.
That pain came and went at, it's just, hey, I need to kill all these walkers. Owie.
My tummy hurts.
But then he gets bit by the walker, doesn't flinch. I mean, don't get me wrong, he was under, but we've seen him wake up from other things.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, hey, do we have a zombie apocalypse cure? Is that what this show is trying to tell me? That if you get treated with radiation, you make it out of being zombified? Was this confirmation? Is this why Alicia is not a zombie now?
And if it is, I'm not terribly mad at this. Because this is continuity. This is acknowledging literally anything that happened in any previous season.
Well, so, it's not just Alicia. It's also Grace, because her unborn child sucked up all the extra radiation and allowed her to survive from radiation and stuff, too. So like, I think it's a combination of them saying radiation is going to be the key.
So are we saying we shouldn't have stopped those other 9 nukes from going off?
Basically. They may have actually condemned the world into further darkness. They needed to launch a few more nukes, and maybe they actually had a chance at beating this thing.
I mean, I would not fault them for believing that not launching the nukes was probably the answer here, because I don't know any situation where launching nukes makes things better. But except for the fact that it did incinerate Dakota, there's that.
Well, yeah. Yes.
Well, yes.
Small things do happen for us sometimes.
I miss Dakota.
Nope.
Bite your tongue, sir.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. Nope. Y'all have to explain this to me, because I was watching the episode, but there were moments where I did not understand what was happening here with the radiation. So initially, June said that the radiation was killing people, and she didn't want to be a part of it. But it turns out that it was her idea to use the radiation anyway, and then she just changed her mind.
Yeah, she was the radiation.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. She changed her mind when she realized that it wasn't working.
How many people had to die from the radiation before she realized it wasn't working? Because she says the radiation was worse than being bitten. Really? How so?
Well, there were 6 in the first car. because you know, she shot 3, and there were 3 that were stabby. Dwight emptied his gun with 6 in his car. So I'm assuming they kept 6 per car.
Yeah.
Just count the number of cars.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more seats in that car. They could have fit some more zombies in there.
Probably.
Yeah. Are we sure these are all irradiated zombies? Because it seemed like there were a lot like just roaming the countryside. Could some of them like just hitched a ride on the train at some point?
Yeah.
Do they have a ticket? Because if not, they shouldn't be on there.
Yeah. No ticket.
No ticket.
My
Fear
question
the Dial
is,
of Destiny.
How did y'all feel about Dwight and Sherry's plan to just go be a family? But that was their big plot point here.
So the extraordinary leap that I have to take to get on board with where Dwight and Sherry are at right now, it's absurd. So Dwight and Sherry, they went nationwide to get past their Negan baggage and reunite on the opposite side of the country. And it was a real struggle for either of them to feel worthy of each other again and blah, blah, blah. And they get to this point where they realize, I want to have a family. I want to have love, happiness, family. We could do this. And they end up doing it, and immediately like, all right, but Padre, you could just have them. You could just have them. And also, because we're going to adopt your system, we're going to be like really, really cool about not interacting with each other for 8 years. And then when we will interact with each other for the first time in 8 years, we're going to tell each other that this is our one day where we get to be happily married again, and we'll be really excited about it. But then when the day comes and things are starting to go belly up and sideways, we're going to be surprised that the one day that we've chosen to be married together again isn't going to be a super happy affair. And also, How is it that you are only just now realizing that maybe you're in the bad place? Like, you know what this place reminds me of? Negan's. Yeah. Like, it's been 8 years.
Look, even Negan didn't murder children.
This is the bad place, you morons. You've been here before. What's going on? The extraordinary leaps that have to be taken to understand that any of these characters would have been in the situations that they've been in for the past 8 years. Not this crew. They'd sooner be dead. It's ridiculous. It's totally, totally, totally ludicrous. June, your family, I knew you for 5 months, but it's been 8 years since then. Your family, you can run away with us. Like, just say you want her because she's the pediatrician, okay? Be honest about it.
And on top of that, even if you bought all of that, and do you have enough money to buy all of that? I don't know. But even if you bought all of that, your plan is now, hey, I know we've been training you for the past 8 years to know that parents are evil and you should never trust parents. We're your parents. Come with us. We're leaving Padre. Why now do you tell Finch this? Just take him away, and when you get clear of Padre, you have plenty of time to say, by the way, funny story.
Yeah, there's so much about this that just... none of these people should have bought into anything that was happening at Padre, and nope. There are points, like, in a better written series... you can do a time jump and you know exactly how they spent those last 8 years. These writers have no idea. And like the few things they think might have happened, they just tell you those things happened. And it's like, I wish that you did know what was going on then, because I think I would have liked to see that season. Like, I would like to know. And Fear the Walking Dead has done this a couple of times where they leave the characters somewhere and I'm like, okay, what's going to happen to him next? Oh, you don't get to know that. We're going to pick it up in like a year or 8 years or whatever. And we didn't tell you what happened because it's not important. We don't really know. But then June telling this story. And I'm like, that would have made a good episode.
That's what I said. Jazz, I'm like, she sits there and just reads a script that we could have seen on TV. She did the whole plot, every aspect of the show from like at gunpoint, like, oh my God. And then I was going to do this. And then he was going to do this. And then she held me at gunpoint. I was like, we've seen that episode before. Why didn't you give us an episode like that? I don't understand why you would just force June to kind of yada yada 8 years in 35 seconds.
Yeah, give us an episode where we see Dwight and Sherry have a real reason to make this decision and like decide that this is the best thing for their baby. Give them some stakes, like give them a choice, and they chose Padre because it was the better option. What was the thing that they were not choosing? I would love to know that. I would love to see that episode. And no, instead, we just get this is what we were doing and you don't need to know why. It's really frustrating. In when you look at it like that, like they're trying to rush us through to some end point, but I don't think they know what the end point is.
We kind of said this about that last season of The Walking Dead proper too, you know. We were watching it thinking, so how does this end? And it's satisfying. I'm not sure what happens in this. I mean, I'm assuming that the cure is going to be a big thing here, radiation and whatnot, but I don't know where Dwight and Sherry and June planned on going in the first place. You know, like you said, there's no other alternative option. But the question is, why haven't they left thus far? I still don't know why Dwight and Sherry can go out on these missions and not just continue to leave. What are you staying for? The kid that you haven't seen or don't really know because you haven't been a family with them? It just doesn't make sense.
This was the same thing that happened to Dwight the last time he got roped into working for the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Like when he and Al were walking around doing the documentary filmmaking and she's like sending them out into the field to collect footage. It's like, why don't you guys just leave? You could just go. Like you can pretend you got eaten by zombies. Nobody's going to be the wiser.
No.
People leave and don't come back all the time.
No, it makes more sense to train child soldiers for a group of people that don't believe in parents.
Yeah, we'll give you a job kidnapping children.
That's safe. That's the safest.
Super safe. Yeah, like, none of Padre makes sense. And the bird names especially do not make sense.
I love it. I love it. I love it. It's so it's baffling to me. It's just the choice to like move forward 8 years in time and stay in sort of this state of arrested development with the characters and then trying to like push them into places that just truly do not hold up under the scrutiny of how much these people change day to day on these shows. But in 8 years, they're like, no, we'll just chill at Bad Guy Island for the, you know, the duration. It's totally fine. It's baffling. But gosh, if it's going to lead to more zombie heads on cranes, I do think I'll keep watching. That was amazing. That was incredible.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like Zombie Utopia has all of this stuff. Like we have just like taken the undead and we've repurposed them for useful things. That I would even buy it if it was one of those situations where, like almost a Terminus situation where you go in and it seems cool and you're like, all right, I'll move in. And then you find out that it's terrible. But this isn't even that, because they knew from the outset, like Padre's bad. Padre's kidnapping kids. Madison Clark's been working for Padre. We didn't understand why Madison was doing it. So it's like, really. Hey, why don't you all come work for this thing that I don't even understand why I'm doing it, and it's really terrible. What a great pitch. What a great pitch that is. There's no reason, like, they need to explain in a big damn hurry why everybody stuck around at Padre.
Yeah.
It's not just that no place else had food. That's not it.
Mm-hmm. I'm dying to know what happens to the children after they're children soldiers. Like, eventually they will be grown up soldiers. Are y'all mating these children? Like, who's going to continue this whole operation? Padre won't last forever if you're just like, all right, kids, you just fight and don't ever talk to each other or make any real relationships with anybody outside of like the 12 of you in this kid army until we go get some more kids for you to grow up with, like as almost like siblings. This is incredible.
It's similar to like in the latest batch of Star Wars movies where the stormtroopers didn't actually have names and they're like, oh, I'm going to have a name. Like, how do you even have a personality if they don't even give you a name? Come on, man. It's not a system that's not a system that holds up to scrutiny. You need to be able to, in order to grow as a society, you need to be able to nurture the individual gifts of your residents. And it doesn't appear that they're doing that. Like, they're all just like mindless killing machines. And I don't see, like, that's not a sustainable business model.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to really figure out how to buy the idea that they're just training this child army to fight walkers. You know, fighting walkers is not that hard. We've seen children do it without years of training.
Yeah, we saw Michonne's college friend had like a whole damn orphanage murdering zombies. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Right. So are we really supposed to buy that they're just like training kids up for the zombies, or are they going to use them for something else? I mean, what is it? The CRM? Oh, is that still a thing?
Some incredible shoe is going to drop, right? So like some incredible shoe is going to drop where the nefariousness of what the kids are actually being used for is going to be so scandalous and so utterly repugnant that finally the Dwights and Sherrys of the world are going to be like, enough. I can't believe that's how you're going to treat these children. Nothing that you have done in the past 8 years that we've lived here where you've told them that parents are bad would have prepared me for this horrible thing. That's the line that I can't cross. Like some sort of uncrossable line is coming that's like, this is just Tuesday in the Walking Dead world. Like you would not have been here for 8 years. You'd be dead. You would sooner be dead. You would sooner all be dead than still here 8 years later. None of you would be here. None of the people who we've seen on Fear the Walking Dead would still be here at Padre. All of them would be dead. Every last one of you are gone. Dead. Meat. None of you are alive anymore. You're not at Padre for 8 effing years.
You know who?
It's not a thing.
You know who I respect? I respect Teddy's people who would go out and like do their graffiti, and then they would get caught, and people would be like, what's this graffiti mean? They're like, I can't tell you. And then they'd kill themselves because they were that principled. These people have no principles. Bulls.
The only thing that makes sense to me is that Padres' food situation must be lit. And, like, amazing. Maybe this is why June is taking the fingers, is because, like, they've got epic chicken fingers or something. So it's, like, a real shady move when she just claims. Yeah, it's, like, really meta of her. Because unless, like, the food is incredible and the beds are plush and it's, like, a five-star resort, the deeper into the Padre underbelly you go, I have no understanding or conception of why the characters we've watched for all of the time we have watched them would tolerate this. We should have probably just ended in the nuclear wasteland of season 7.
I mean, Negan had somebody making potato chips. So yeah. That was what drew people to him.
It's possible. There is a lot that I would do if I were in the apocalypse and, like, delicious pizza was on offer. I would definitely, like, kidnap some kids for that. So, like, that I get.
I mean, everybody's got their price, Josh.
I would definitely.
For Madison Clark, it's an oxygen tank. For you, it's a pizza.
I would take those kids and I would tell them that not only are parents bad, you never had them. You never had them. In between bites.
Yeah, are you sharing with the kids?
No. The only thing worse than parents is sharing.
Wow, this is grim. This is getting very, very grim.
This message brought to you by Ron DeSantis.
Wow.
Yeah, we got darker. Like, there you go. That's the thing. It's like, I'll go work for Padre and kidnap children, but, you know, Ron DeSantis, that's where I draw the line.
It's been 35 minutes and we have not even talked about Morgan and Madison.
Yeah.
Oh, were they in this episode? Tacked on at the end? For the hey, we're in the back of this truck and I'm going to scream, "Hey guys, stop." And they're going to stop. And Madison's going to go, can't breathe. And they fall for it. And this works. What am I watching?
In the book.
God. Well, that was like the end of Room when they pretended the kid died and they rolled him up in the rug. Like, she got that from Room.
Oh. It got darker. Oldest trick in the book. She got that from Room. Playing dead is like the first thing people tell you to do when your life is like, have you tried faking? And so, like, we got to get her air. She can't die. Oh, look, it's a trap. And Madison, her amazing ability to just take down people while handcuffed and dying from a lack of oxygen. She, like, tackles one dude, just, like, shoulder blocks him, and then punches the other dude with her handcuffed hands just so Morgan can get away to do the thing that he didn't do, but he was upset about not doing, that he cannot tell her because it doesn't matter.
And also keep in mind that the amount of actual time together these two have spent probably adds up to, at the absolute most, like 2 full days, maybe, and probably not. And so she'll just, like, sacrifice play for that guy. No way. Absolutely not. Madison Clark also should have stayed dead.
Yeah, I just do not understand why either one of them is still alive at this point. Like, why is the Padre has shown themselves to be people that are totally fine with having a zombie head bite a child. And yet they are keeping Madison and Morgan alive, despite Madison and Morgan perpetually messing with their shit. They're like, oh, we're just going to keep these people alive forever. Like,
because Shrike has special plans for them.
Which, yeah, you know,
I'm
what
not
else?
Telling.
You know who else should have just gotten killed this episode? Shrike. Like, Shrike shows up. June should have been like, oh, it's Shrike. Bam. Shrike's dead.
Well, yes, except that they both made it very clear that they ran out of bullets.
They don't need bullets. She could impale her. Her name is Shrike. Yes, do you guys know anything about Shrikes? Because I had to learn this. This is not the first reference in 2023 popular culture to Shrike.
No.
Because
that's what the writers are on right now, right? Shrike?
Yeah, they are.
Should be noted, this season of Fear the Walking Dead written pre-strike also. So
I'm not sure it was written by a human. Like, this might have been the thing that tipped people over the edge. Like, the Writers Guild was like, why are you letting ChatGPT write Fear the Walking Dead? We are going on strike now. You could let a human write this. You could let a talented chimpanzee write this, and it would be better than what you came up with. it would explain a lot. But yes, the Shrike was the name of the ship piloted by the principal villain of season 3 of Star Trek Picard. And so at that point, I had to look up what a Shrike was. I knew it was a sort of bird. The Shrike is freaking fascinating. So they are predators. They called them, they also called them the Butcher Bird.
Wow.
And they, I will read this off of Wikipedia. It's terrific. Shrikes are known for their habit of catching insects and small vertebrates and impaling them on thorns, branches, the spikes on barbed wire fences, or any available sharp point. This helps them to tear the flesh into smaller, more conveniently sized fragments and serves as a cache that the Shrike can return to the uneaten portions at a later time. So if Shrike, the character, does not get impaled herself by the end of the season, it just shows that there is no rhyme or reason to why any of these people are named after birds.
She's getting impaled on a spiky ball finger for sure.
Yes, please.
Whether spiky or not ball it's finger. Whether or not it's spiky, like she will, like June is going to like put her metal finger through Shrike's forehead. I feel like that's where this is going.
I like that. I'm okay with that. I want to see like who is the guy in Walking Dead proper? One of Regina's sons got impaled in that warehouse
right
back in the early Alexandria days. Like, that's the kind of death I need for Shrike.
Yeah, not Spencer.
Not Spencer's
brother.
Yeah, I don't remember what his name was.
His name was...
Oh, wait, was it Aiden? Aiden? It was Aiden.
Aiden.
The other guy that we kept calling Aiden who was not Aiden.
Aiden, yes. Alden, Aiden.
Yes, exactly. Oprah, Uma. Uma, Oprah.
Uma, Oprah. Although yes. I would not be surprised because of the way the alliances just change with the wind on this show that Shrike and June don't go on some sort of scavenging trip at some point and bond and realize that they're more alike than different.
Yeah, and Shrike's like,
I mean, they're both missing fingers.
Woohoo! Shrike is like, why am I doing any of this? And June's like, you don't have to. And Shrike's like, you're right. And then Shrike gets bitten. And then she's like, here's the keys to Padre. I'll stay behind. And that's it. That's all that's going to happen to Shrike. Like, final, like, classic, it's just way too late, but here you go, change your mind, and then leave my show. That's the happiest outcome for that character, I think.
Oh, the old Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Is Shrike the big boss, or is Padre a person? Because they talk about him like a person.
Him.
Yeah, they say him, and then they also say it, as if it's like a state of being.
Well, Padre, you know, like, is the place. But is also
a state of mind.
The state of mind. It's the man behind the curtain. I mean, it's who they were holding at gunpoint through the mirror. They were talking to Padre.
Is this a situation like when you call a boat she?
Yeah.
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 You call it the butcher bird, you know? And how horrible of a person do you have to be for your bird name to be a Shrike? Jess's description of this bird, impaling insects and other things on sticks for fun, and to eat. I just feel like if we're giving out bird names, we got to watch that person. That person is not someone who you could trust.
Well, I don't know if you get to pick your own. Like, do they pick them out of a hat, or do you get to choose your own name? If you're choosing your own name, and you're a little bit intimidated, you might want to choose something kind of badass to make people afraid of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it your destiny now? Like, do you have to choose something that's really indicative of what your personality is going to be, as we have all done here?
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't know this, but in episode 5, we're going to see they have a sorting nest. And you sit in the nest.
We've talked about Aiden and Alden, but not really Adrian yet. Adrian, who is yet another one-hit wonder here on The Walking Dead.
Well, as soon as you saw that guy, and as soon as he said what his name was, you're like, oh, that guy's dying.
Gosh, I have to tell you, maybe I'm just an idiot. I know I am, but like, maybe it's because of things like this that, like, I was like, oh, well, maybe we're about to start June on, like, There Is Life After John Dory's story. I kind of thought that, you know, Jonathan Medina, who plays Adrian, is like, oh, you've got some, like, charisma, some riz, as I've been told.
The riz.
Last week. That you do have some, and I felt like could be like an interesting counterpoint to June. And then he finds out that Hannah is dead and he's lost his purpose. And like so many of these people in these moments in these shows, it's like, oh, well, there's no point anymore. I may as well just get horribly prolongedly eviscerated by so many different walkers rather than be like, I don't know, June, you guys got anything like in there that's like, could like I just do this real fast? Like, no way. You don't just like willingly walk into the train car and just allow yourself to get eaten over and over.
In any of the decisions that were made in that train car, really. Yeah. I mean, you have, okay, I have to operate on this boy and we have to keep Adrian from this boy. And Adrian, you stay here. Don't follow me. I'm going to go help Dwight and Sherry in the back. You stay here with the boy. Like, what? Either he takes the boy, or maybe by that point you've decided, okay, he's a caring father. I believe him on that. He realizes now the boy needs the operation. He's not going to take the boy, but he's going to leave and run back to his people and then come back with guns and get us later. Like, shoot him now or let him come with you. But I didn't understand that. And then they could have stopped him from walking in there. They could have stopped him. They chose not to.
They really didn't try. No, don't come back. Stop.
It was just like they didn't even. Dwight didn't even try to stop the head from biting his son. Like, no, 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 no. I mean, really, no.
They
this whole episode shouldn't have happened, because what should have happened was Adrian should have walked into June's cabin and been like, "I need you to help me," and then she should have picked up her gun and shot him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then she should have tranquilized the next two people, Dwight and Sherry, and took their boat and left. Because why?
They used their fingers.
No, take their boat and leave. Because these people are not, they're not interested in leaving Padre, or they would have left. They have a boat. They have been leaving and coming back on missions. They're not leaving. They only left this time because they wanted to have family time while they got the kid an appendectomy. Because there's a clinic at Padre. You could have saved this kid's life by not leaving.
I'm going to go see if I can find another hospital, like one that takes my HMO.
Oh, perfect. It's in a train car. Gotcha. Like, what were they looking for?
It doesn't make a whole ton of sense. No.
None of that.
Like, the fact that they even have motorboats with gasoline, and this is like a rubberized Zodiac situation. Like, rubber degrades over time. These things are not good for 10 years into a zombie apocalypse when they weren't maintained for a while. Like, if Padre had a brand new one on day one, maybe it's still okay. Like, the stuff gets shot at all the time. Is that really the first time June has accidentally shot the boat?
No one has the technique and steady hands that June Dory has, which is why they need her. That's how they knew that she was chopping off fingers, Jess. She's a pro, because it was the precision unchopping off the fingers. Ma'am, you're axing people's fingers with precision? Just chop their hands off. What are you doing? By matter of fact, why are you still collecting fingers? It doesn't make sense. And speaking of Dwight and Sherry, they fall through the train roof or whatever. And then they go, they see the crazy new zombies. Oh no, they call June and they're calm. They're like, hey, June, we need you to just go ahead and keep operating. We'll figure out a way to get this out. And June hears, wait, stop, come save us right now. We can't live without you. I was like, they don't even sound like they're in turmoil. There's no panic in their voice. They really clearly said, save my child. And June's like, no, leave him with Adrian, the guy I met 30 minutes ago who has pointed a gun at me already at this point. And I'll be right back.
Or couldn't you just send Adrian in that event? Like, hey, Adrian, I think these guys might be in trouble, but I'm in the middle of something. Can you go check it out?
And I'll look for Hannah, who I actually have murdered myself, actually. Yeah,
I know right where she is.
I'll take
She's
right
one car further down than where you're going to meet Dwight and Sherry, so it should be okay.
Well, because that's the other thing. She immediately knows who he is, right?
Yes.
She knows who the child is. She should have been like, yeah, she dead. And then killed him.
Yeah. Or she could have just, yeah, she dead from jump. When he walks in with a picture of the child that she murdered, she says, oh yeah, I know that child. They were doing experiments. That kid's dead. Sorry.
I've got very bad news for you. Your kid is dead. I'm so sorry.
Where's your bedside manner? And then that man can decide to go end his own life as he does in the end of this, or he can decide, okay, maybe I will help you or try to avenge my child. But taking him through this whole thing and then giving him the plot of a whole nother episode that we missed, that is what drove this man crazy. It was the fact that you lied to him to his face, knowing that you knew where his dead child was. You knew the whole time. You could have ended this 30. You didn't even have to kill the man. You could have just said, oh, wait, picture. No, that kid. She's dead.
She could have gotten him as a partner by saying, look, you know, it was the craziest thing. It was the craziest thing. They have this thing where they get children and they chop their toes off. And, you know, if you want to get revenge on them, you should go around and find them and chop their toes off. Now, I got a thing for fingers. You got a thing for toes. Like,
it's a whole thing.
I think this could work.
Yeah, but your ears you keep.
And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, she could have spun this in a way that would, you know, get his entire ass army on her side, because allegedly, also, we haven't seen any concrete proof of this. Allegedly, he's got an entire ass army of people that are really up in arms about their kids being taken, and they're going to go and take Padre. I at this point, I would have been like, if that guy knocked on my door and be like, I want to take Padre and I want you to help me, I would have been like, you are Padre, dude. How do I know you're not Padre?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't even her objection to him.
No, her objection is, but I want to be left alone. I really came out here to be left alone. I'm not left alone enough to stop fucking with these people, but like, I'm literally trolling them on purpose, inches away from apparently where they go all the time.
And putting up signs, which kind of like are in a general area, which kind of lets them know that this is kind of where I hang.
but... I just want to be left alone. I just don't want to be bothered. And by the end, Adrian decides the same thing. He said, you know what? I too just want to be left alone. And that's why he goes and hugs his zombie child.
Maybe that's why she didn't stop him. She's like, I get that.
Yeah, I feel it. We've seen Madison Clark try to kill herself and they just won't let her.
Yeah.
Why not? It's like they're paying money to feed these people. It is onerous in the zombie apocalypse to feed people. If they are actively working against you, do not feed them.
I would like to know where
it's
they...
really upsetting. Like, why is she so important? Why are these people so important?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are they being kept around?
Yeah, why this group? If there's an army of people somewhere, I have to imagine that these people came from somewhere. They're just like, they migrated from something. That means there are other people out here. Why are you content with this, like, being your team? Morgan, Sherry, Dwight, Madison Clark, like, all of our heroes here. It's like, they all showed up together, basically. I think we're just going to keep them as a family. But we won't let them talk. They cannot be a family, per se. But they all got to be, like, our number one guards here in the zombie apocalypse. It just don't make sense.
Yeah, it's like Padre picked people up. And then they look at the call sheet. And they're like, mm-hmm. Okay, you have to stay.
Mm-hmm.
It really, the only thing that I can hope for now is that, like, Victor Strand is somehow leading Adrian's people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to come in and lead the army and kill everybody else. And where is Victor Strand?
That is only question keeping me around at this point.
Well, also, where is Daniel? But I don't think Daniel knows where Daniel is, so there's that. I hear we get him eventually, so.
I believe Daniel is with Ophelia somewhere.
I could
see he believes that.
Yes.
I could see that. Yeah. I could see Daniel actually attacking an army of children, but he's the mm-hmm. only one. Like, who are these adults that are now about to fight against the army of children? You know, this Adrian has a team. He says, you know, back home, we're preparing for this fight. The fight is against kids, y'all. They're Jeez. 8.
Man, a bunch of people, a bunch of adults on a boat getting ready to fight a child army. This Peter Pan reboot sucks.
And instead of a hook, they just all have missing fingers. With the ball.
Hook finger.
Anyway, I hear the clock ticking. I don't know if that's the crocodile or the end of the podcast.
I think that is like the sands of time telling us that we need to go out and live the rest of our lives, because life is too short to continue talking about this episode.
I know we're about to wrap up soon, but I do want to address Morgan's dialogue with Madison about the thing that he can't tell her about. I actually kind of transcribed it. It's paraphrased, but let me just read through it. Morgan says he's been thinking about a thing he did. Well, actually, a thing he didn't do a long time ago. She says, what? She says, it doesn't matter. Can you fix it? Not the worst of it. Some of it? Maybe. And that's it. That was the conversation. She's like, Morgan, go, go, do the thing that you said you were going to do. The thing that happened, when it was going to happen. That's how the episode ended.
That's literally everything Morgan has ever said, ever.
What is the thing he didn't do? In the season where we're talking, in the episode where we're talking about radiation potentially reversing zombieism, specifically using children, what is he thinking about? Is he thinking about going all the way back home? Is he thinking about the fact that he didn't have it in him he didn't shoot his kid, I don't believe, right? I think he's still wandering, isn't he? Potentially.
You can't reverse.
Is he trying? Is he going to go back? Is he going to go back?
He has to go back to the first episode and open the door for his wife.
Is he going to go all the way back and do that? Is he going to go back and try and make Dwayne a person again?
You can't that, though.
I am so here for this. I'm so here for it. Yes. Let that be his Odyssean adventure to close us out. Go home, Morgan Jones. Save your child with the nuclear powers. Do this.
If I run real fast, I can reverse the rotation of the Earth.
Yeah. See my nuclear man and take it to Superman. I see you there, AJ.
And we will never know if he finds it. That's how the show has to end. It has to end with Morgan walking off into the distance. Like, I have a mission. And you're like, you go, Morgan. You go do the thing that happened, that you should have happened, that didn't happen. Yeah. Look, Jess looks pissed.
I'm so pissed because I know you're right.
You know it's true.
No, you're right. But I think I'm going to call my shot that the radiation, not a red herring. I think we bring Finch back. Because I think we murder a kid on screen like this, even in The Walking Dead.
I kind of want to believe this is a red herring. And the only reason why is because we've done this before. I got the cure. I promise. It's the cure. I swear to God, if you just come with me, we have the cure. Okay, and every time. Yeah, every time we've been led astray. Anytime anybody has ever come up with a solution, we've been led astray. And I know that we have other Walking Deads to come. And it would be nice if they had a cure or something that could work so that we can use that to further the plots of these other Walking Deads. But, I mean, I've been hurt before. You know, I got trust issues when it comes to this. I'm still waiting on the CRM to show up. They never try radiation at the CRM. You mean to tell me the CRM has like the brightest
sandwich
mind.
Lady? Sandwich yeah. Lady was not rating people.
Crunchy Mouth Sounds has the brightest minds in the country. They are going around and recruiting children. A child army, the smartest kids, and they are experimenting on these zombies as well. And they're using all these scientific minds to do it. And you mean to tell me June Dory and radiation is that's it? Alicia walking around for half a season dead is what happened here. That's the cure.
Stranger things have happened. Like the fact that they introduced so much stuff in World Beyond gives me hope that we could see that, you know, we could see something that dumb happening here on Fear the Walking Dead. We're going to end the zombie apocalypse on Fear the Walking Dead. That's what's going to happen.
Nope. I just don't see it. I really wish I could, but I just don't see it. But yeah, everything about this episode was baffling. And quite frankly, I loved it. I stopped watching Fear in a serious way a long time ago. I watch it so I can laugh. And I laughed at a whole lot.
The crane will kill me forever.
Zombie Crane is now, I think it's number one with a bullet as far as ludicrous things that have happened on Walking Dead. And I mean, you all know what my favorite thing that's ever happened on Walking Dead is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more ludicrous than that.
It's just incredible. It's incredible. I'm going to go to sleep dreaming of it.
There were so many funny parts. I'm sorry. The fact that they had to go turn on the electricity by going to the back of the train had no issues. No, they didn't run into any zombies. They just walked across the top of the train, I'm assuming. Everything was fine. But then they fell through the top of the train onto a pile of zombies. This is comedy. The Morgan conversation is comedy. The fact that Dwight and Sherry just want to go be a happy family, even though they've been living together for the last 8 years. Comedy. I'm sorry. The Walking Dead is hilarious television. Must see TV.
It is. You know, that's the one genre that Fear the Walking Dead hasn't really tried yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been a here. Western. We've been a noir. We've been
we're going to come back to the laugh track.
Yeah. Multi-cameras.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Live All right. But audience. In
the. Yeah. Live studio audience. That'd be amazing. All right, but in the meantime, we are going to be back next week. I think it is a Daniel episode, is what I'm hearing. So that will be very exciting. But before that, AJ Mass, what are you up to next week?
I am up to more Criminal Minds recapping with my friend Kentaz Svensgaard on Felonious Pundits. We are delighting in recapping every single episode of this show, and we're steadily approaching one third of the way.
Okay, I just want to recap. AJ Mass recaps Criminal Minds and yet almost rage quit this show because it was so ludicrous.
I don't see your point.
Because a lot of ludicrous stuff happens with Matthew Ray Gooblers of the world, is what I understand. Chappelle, what are you up to this week?
Nothing but Netflix. Literally. That's it. I'm only here for two podcasts now. I'm very excited. I've wrapped up a lot of recording here on post-show recaps. I'm still doing Grey's Anatomy's Anatomy with Ariel once a month. That's fun. But my primary location is on Rob Has a Podcast, talking about Netflix shows. Last week, we talked about something, you know, and it was great. And this week, we'll talk about something else, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it was it Jewish matchmaking last week? I don't know. I literally have no clue. But check out Nothing But Netflix, you know, wherever you get your podcast, and you can tune in to see what Netflix show we talk about next. We're not actually talking about a Netflix show this week either. We're going to be talking about White Men Can't Jump off of Hulu. Wow. So hanging with Hulu this week, coming up Nothing But Netflix. Check it out.
Okay, Josh Wiggler. What are you doing this week?
Succession. It's almost ending. We're very close. As this podcast is dropping, there is one episode of Succession left, and that's it. It's a week away, and I'm going to be spending the whole week freaking out, trying to figure out what the heck's going to happen here at the end of the thing. There's so many podcasts that we're doing about Succession. If you are as obsessed with the show as I am, then we've got you covered on the Succession feed. There's tons of other stuff that's happening as well, whether it's Mrs. Davis or Ted Lasso, which is also going to be ending really, really soon. Yellow Jackets too. But I have nothing but Succession brain at the end of the day right now. So very excited to see how that all shakes out. It's going to be tough being Fear the Walking Dead going up against the Succession series finale next week.
I don't know. Fear the Walking Dead's got a chance. So we want to hear your takes on this piece of television. We would love to hear from you on the Twitter. You can tweet at Post Show Recaps. You can also tweet at Haymaker Hattie, at AJ Mass, at Round Howard, and at Chappelle's _ show. And we would desperately love to hear your feedback on this. Really makes our day whenever we hear from you. You can also email twd at postshowrecaps.com. Check out all the other great stuff on our network. If it's on TV right now, we are probably recapping it somewhere. And of course, if you're a patron, you can have all sorts of other benefits too. So thank you to my esteemed panel for enduring this with me. We are now going to back away slowly like a reverse zombie head into the sunset. And we'll see y'all next week.